Time to drink some wine. I'm all over that. Weston, what do you think? Are you ready, Adam? You're drinking some? He's got it. I know you had a glass right there. Weston Eidson is a longtime winemaker out in the area of California, Sonoma County. He is working with a very historic vineyard, which is great because he's talking to a very old person here. So that kind of helps. Weston, how you doing today, man?
Well, Tim, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good, buddy. How's your weather out there?
Well, doing all right, you know. Getting ready for another harvest coming up here before we know it.
Well, so this has been a really interesting year because you guys have had some awfully good weather.
It has been getting a heck of a lot of rain to start it.
And it's kept the temps down.
It has, yeah. Yeah, you know, it fluctuates here and there, but nothing kind of out of the ordinary too much yet. So that's always nice. The grapes are growing nicely. It looks like it'll be a nice harvest.
Dealing with the Pinot Noir likes that long maturation. Just, you know, warm days are fine. Cool nights are where it wants to go. A little rain here and there, but not enough for mold or mildew to form. And I think that's kind of where you've been, hon, over the last 3 months.
Yeah, it has. And I mean, it's going to get, really, the test will really be kind of where we do from here on out. Like last year, it was just kind of an epic year for the Burgundy varietals. Just had some really nice long hang times. Nothing was, temperature just played along well. I mean, it's kind of a nice break. You know, we got a great vintage in 2018 after 17 was a little more, challenging for in a lot of ways out there. So it was, 18 was a sure nice respite from that and fantastic long hang times. You're absolutely right.
You're the one that picked agriculture. Nobody forced you into that. You should have been a brain surgeon. That would have solved everything.
I picked wine first. It just kind of comes with the game.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. That was a kind of cool deal. But your family's been at this a long time.
Well, I mean, actually, I started in 2012 myself. The name of my wine comes after some family members in England, and they actually did do some grapes. They planted some back in, probably in the 70s. To do some sparkling wine there back before English sparkling wine was really a hot topic. So,
ahead of their time.
Yeah, exactly. Now, most of my close family comes from more the consumption side of the business, I say. We're always researching and refining our palate, as it were.
That's a wonderful thing. That's a great pursuit right there. You can do that indoors. It depends on what the temperature is or whether it rains or not.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
I love that idea. Yeah. Montague, what's the origin of the name?
Well, so it comes from my great-grandfather. His name was John Montague. He was a lord in Britain at the turn of the century, turn of the last century. And he was a big car guy back then. And so being a lord, he was in Parliament. So he had some cool things. He was like the first person to drive a car to Parliament. He gave Edward VII his first car ride and kind of cool stuff like that. Helped change some automotive legislation, like changing the speed limit from 12 to 20 miles an hour.
Oh, so, my God. What a madman.
Yeah. So kind of some neat things. And kind of in honor of his cool, adventurous life, I named my first label Montague. And then being in automobile, in the automobile industry, he was good friends with Charles Rolls and Henry Royce. And back then what you did, you had your coachmaker build your coach, the top part of the car, and they would give it to Rolls Royce, and they would put it on the chassis and the motor and all that kind of thing, and they'd link it up, and you'd have your own customized hood ornament that they would call the mascot. And so my great-grandfather had his made. Rolls and Royce liked his mascot so much that they had his secretary, his assistant, was the model for it. They had her pose for theirs, called the Spirit of Ecstasy, which we see on the Rolls Royce cars today. So...
So your grandfather provided the model for Rolls Royce?
Yeah, it was his secretary, his assistant there, and actually that's the PG rated version. He was actually his mistress.
I was going to say this is pretty kinky. This is getting kinky. Yeah. I'm all over this.
Yeah. So that's where that came from. And his favorite car was a 1909 Rolls Royce Silver Ghost, and that's where you get the name from other.
That's a great story, Wes. That's a great story.
So yeah, it's kind of cool. Link to the two brands that I make.
Well, you saved me asking the question. You answered that before it was asked. We need more guests like this. I can go take a nap. I love this idea. This is cool. So we're in right now, and we're going to take a break in just a second here, Weston. But we have the Montague Russian River Pinot Noir 2016.
Wonderful.
Yes, it is. Very intense, very concentrated.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's classic Russian River, right there in the heart of Russian River on West Side Road. The vines kind of are really close to the river as well, actually. So it's really right there in the middle of it. You get some great temperatures, and you know, a little low-lying fog kind of moderates everything. And it's just such a historic vineyard. If you've seen that movie Bottle Shock with Chris Pine that came out a few years ago, it was all about the big 1976 Paris tasting, the Judgment of Paris, where the American wines beat the French wines. And the interesting thing there is you had Stag's Leap win for the Cabernet, and Chateau Montalena win for their 1973 vintage Chardonnay. The interesting thing was most of the Chardonnay grapes that were in that wine actually came from this vineyard, the Bacigalupi vineyard in Russian River. So it's a fantastic old historic vineyard, and I'm just fortunate to work with this family. You know, I think they're on the fourth generation now, and it's just really cool. Great folks.
Is there anything grown on Bacigalupi besides Pinot Noir and Chardonnay?
They have a little bit of Zinfandel. Okay. There are some single vineyard Zinfandels out there that are from that vineyard. Like William Selyem does some Zins from there, and some Petit Syrah as well. A little bit of Petit Syrah.
William Selyem used to be right there in that neighborhood. They were located down there.
They are. They're very close. They're just maybe half mile down the road.
And Bacigalupi, this is considered a river bottom vineyard, isn't it?
Yeah, it's close by. It is near the river bottom. Yeah, yeah. The bottom of the valley.
It's really special. This is a wonderful Pinot Noir from Montague. We're talking to Weston Eidson, and we're going to be right back in 1 second. Weston, can I get you to hold a second, please?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Thank you, sir. Thank you for these great stories. I'm a big story lover, and you're keeping me entertained. Tim McNally right here in the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show on WGSO 990 AM from the heart of the Crescent City. Y'all come on back.
Goodbye. Even a shame. Still feel like rain. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame. You broke my heart when you said we'll part. Ain't that a shame?
There's the fat man, Fats Domino. One of the true pioneers of rhythm and blues, rock and roll in this country. And what a just a nice, nice man. Just, you know, we read about all these artists and these people that I guess they're still doing it, ripping up hotel rooms, things of that nature. You never heard about that back when this guy was doing his magic with audiences. I had the good fortune to see Fats perform about 5 or 6 times, not including the Jazz Fest. And boy, he was just a cool cat. He was good, and the songs were great, and he and Dave Bartholomew, whom we just buried today, unfortunately, were an amazing team. We're talking to Weston Eidson, who is the gentleman that brings us the wines from Montague and also the Silver Ghost wines. Weston, let me go back to this Pinot Noir from Montague. Let's talk about this vineyard a little bit, because you're pulling out of this vineyard, but you're one of a few blessed people that are able to do that.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, it is being so historic, been around for a long time, it's got a great name. So, and it's, you know, has a great track record of producing excellent fruit, and people that know how to grow it really well there and know it intimately. So it's one of those places where once you kind of get into those vineyards, you don't want to leave them because you are getting some amazing stuff. And it's got some, you know, great characteristics and kind of some things that not every vineyard has. So you try to really seek out those type of places because, you know, once you got to start with great fruit. They always say you can make bad wine out of great grapes, but you can't make great wine out of bad grapes. So you got to start with the good stuff, and then from there you just try to shepherd it into making good wine.
I should have written that down. I'm going to forget that. But the Pinot Noir that comes out of that area, what is it? Is it? I mean, I know they talk about terroir, but is it that soil? Is that sort of the beginning key to how great Pinot Noir develops in the Russian River area?
Yeah, the soil and that climate, you know, you get such great shifts in temperature, and it's not too hot, but it warms up enough to really give it a characteristic expression. You know, it's very different, I think, than other expressions of Pinot Noir when you are talking maybe Burgundy or Oregon or places like that. You know, it's warmer, so it gives you a different kind of a different style, and you know, a world class style that is distinctive, which is what I think a region really needs to be able to kind of stand on its own feet, and the Russian River certainly does.
This particular vineyard reminds me of an expression that I heard once, and that is that there is no such thing as a great vineyard that's ugly. And and they're all the great ones, and this one is certainly included in that, is picturesque as hell.
Yeah, yeah, it is pretty amazing. It's and I always hear, what comes first, the vineyard or the great, the beautiful site? You know, they really do go hand in hand like that, for sure.
I love being in that area and just driving up West Side Road and that whole, because the wineries are all, you know, the one you were just at, it was better than the one before that, and it's beautiful, and the food is terrific in that area. I love going to the farmhouse and those kind of restaurants out in the country.
Oh, yeah. Anywhere you can't throw a rock without hitting a great place to have a glass and a nice lunch and everything like that. It really is a special place.
You know, I'm kind of amazed that there isn't, there may be, maybe you can help me here because I get to go there a couple times a year, but there isn't a little grocery store that sells fabulous cheeses and sells wine and picnic supplies in a basket and you take it out somewhere and just settle down.
Yeah, they should do that more. There are plenty of places that you think could. I mean, there are lots of good sandwich shops and things like that with all sorts of snacks and lunches to go. But, yeah, they should do a little more package deal.
You guys need a Gina Gallo up there to open up, like she has the store up by, what is that, Sterling? No. Where's the Zen area up there?
Dry Creek
store. Creek, yeah. That's what I was going for. Yeah,
that's the one I'm thinking of too. Yep.
Yeah, that's a great spot. Every time I go there, there's a couple of motorcycle gangs in there.
Yeah, getting their Chardonnay.
I'm sort of feeling like, well, you know, it's like that old thing used to go when you go down the highway and let's stop here and get something to eat because there's a lot of trucks out front. And I'm thinking, well, they got motorcycle gangs out front of Dry Creek Grocery, so it's got to be good.
Well, you know, they've driven by there a bunch of times, and that's the place to stop. That's where we should be stopping too, right?
I agree. It's just too far from where you are, though. That's the only problem.
Yeah, it is a bit of a hike, but you know, I do a handful of other spots around there. Always checking vineyards, so it's nice to, when I do pass by it, to go in, certainly. And that's one nice thing about Sonoma in general. It's just kind of spread out and nice and easygoing and just, you know, beautiful all everywhere you go.
Weston, can you stick with me a few more minutes? Because what I want to do here, and I've sort of saved up, I want to open up both of these Cabernets together and taste them side by side, and I'd love to do it with you.
Happily. Sounds great.
Thank you so much. We're talking to Weston Eidson, Silver Ghost Wines, Montague Wines out of Sonoma County. And he's kind of got the story and what's going on in that part of the world. We're going to come back and catch more of it. Tim McNally right here. The Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show. We're here every weekday afternoon, 4 until 5. TuneIn Radio app, WGSO.com. We're all over the darn place. Come on back.
Who drank my beer while I was in the rear? Tell me, who drank my beer while I was in the rear? Point out that lowdown moocher. I'll dislocate his future.
You're hearing that? You're hearing that rhythm and blues there. You can almost hear Fats Domino during that song, and Fats and Dave Bartholomew, who does that song, were such great friends, great collaborators. Dave sang. He played the horn, and the name of that song is Who Drank My Beer While I Was in the Rear. Tim McNally right here in the Dine, Wine, and Spirits Show, WGSO, 990 AM. We're talking to Weston Eidson, who makes some darn good wine out there in Sonoma County. And we've just opened up, Weston, the Montague 2016 Rutherford Cabernet Sauvignon. So you switched valleys on us.
I did. Yep. Over to Napa Valley. That's the way I do it is I buy my fruit from different growers. And so, really small production stuff on the Montague, about 100 to 150 cases generally of each different wine, and kind of allows me to pick and choose my sites like that. So, Pinot Noir, I love getting that from the Russian River, and then the Cabernet from Napa Valley is kind of where I like to be. So that's Rutherford there, kind of in the heart of it.
Kind of a good way to be in this country. So also the Silver Ghost, which we're going to taste in a moment, same vintage, 2016, also comes out of Napa.
Yeah, exactly. So whereas the Montague wines are really single vineyard expressions, and they we're kind of exploring that little bit of terroir of each of those sites, the Silver Ghost is more about delivering a wine that really overperforms for its price, and that's kind of what that one does. And it's from different vineyards, a multi-vineyard wine from different spots in the Napa Valley.
Whatever happened, since you brought it up, you didn't really, but let me go in this direction. Whatever happened to multi-vintage? Does California still put that much stock in the year, or is it possible to make a great wine with many vintages?
Oh, sure. I mean, I think your best example of that's in Champagne. They're all their non-vintages, and I think that's done for a few different reasons. It's such an extreme kind of climactic situation for grapes that it helps to be able to round out the vintages and kind of get some consistency there, and it gives their house style a little more consistency and things. So certainly there are non-vintage wines. As far as more like California styles, I don't think you see it very often outside of less expensive wines that you might see. There are some people that do play around with it. I think ZD Abacus is an example of that, where they make a red wine basically in the Solera style, and so it's a multi-vintage wine. So there's really, when it's done right, I think it can be really tremendous. I mean, you're getting the best of everything. You're getting some well-aged wines blended in, and it's a really interesting thing to do. It's just you don't see it terribly often, really, for anything outside of Champagne.
Weston, what is the difference in source material between the Montague Cabernet Sauvignon and the Silver Ghost Cabernet Sauvignon?
Well, there's always a little bit of that, a little bit of crossover, but not much, just given that the Montague is a single vineyard and it's just a one spot, whereas the Silver Ghost uses a few of them, a few different vineyards. So there's not really a whole lot of crossover, but some of the same spots, like Silver Ghost, comes mostly from Yountville and Rutherford and Calistoga, so there's a little bit of Rutherford in there.
Don't go away. I'm enjoying your Montague.
Good.
Yeah. Boy, that is, again, am I seeing a Western style in here? Are you, your grape in Montague, your wine is very concentrated, and these grapes, some of them I feel like even going into the blue range here, they're so deep and structured, but very soft, very velvety. Is this 100% Cabernet?
It sure is. Yeah, it is. And that's one of those things that comes from the single vineyard wines. You can, of course, have a vineyard growing other grapes and have a single vineyard, but mine are so small, it is just really a focus on Cabernet Sauvignon from that particular spot and that. So yeah, it's 100% Cab, 100% Rutherford, and I'm glad you like it. Those, all the things you say, are things that I certainly love. I mean, that blue fruit character is something I sure chase.
Do you like steak?
I do. I'm from Texas originally. I definitely like my fair share of steak.
You strike me as a steak lover, and these wines would be just the way to go with beef.
Excellent. Well, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Mm. Oh, man. Now, I just got into the Silver Ghost, and this is a little lighter style, but it's not light. It's just lighter than the Montague, in my opinion.
Agreed. Yep, absolutely.
It's delicious. I love the fruit expression in these things. This is serious. I must be honest with you. These are the kind of wines that I caution people don't spend a lot of time with in the hot weather.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, the Silver Ghost is kind of designed to be a little more approachable. It doesn't have, you don't have to age it terribly long or anything, and it tastes great right out of the bat, and a little bit less new oak on that, and that kind of thing. So you're right, as far as just the general concentration, it's a really easy, accessible, delicious wine.
These are so well made. Do you make the wine?
I do. Thank you very much.
Wow. I'm very impressed, Weston. These are really well made wines. Do you know they're available in New Orleans?
They are. Yes, they sure are. I'm distributed through Neat Brands, is who distributes my wines in Louisiana, and so we're starting to get more and more places in northern Louisiana as well as New Orleans. So, you know, hopefully people will be able to find them at restaurants and shops nearby soon.
Well, I'm sure they will, because they're good wines, and we tend to find good wines in our area.
Good. Well, you sure got a lot of great restaurants.
Yeah, we do. We're very lucky in that regard.
No kidding about that.
Do you get over here much?
Well, it's been a little while. It's been a little while, but I need to come back sometime and go out to some of those restaurants for sure.
Would you come back and then come on the show and share the wines with us while we're sitting side by side?
You know, I'd love to.
I would love it too. I would love it too. Weston Eidson, Eidson, and this gentleman is the winemaker from Montague, Montagu, beautiful Pinot Noir from Russian River, 2016 is what we've enjoyed, and Montague Cabernet Sauvignon, 2016, from Napa Valley, and then we had the Silver Ghost wine, also from Napa Valley, same year, 2016. Weston, thank you for sharing your wines with us.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.
I enjoyed talking to you, and we're going to continue to enjoy these wines as we break away here. And we thank you for your time today. This is Tim McNally, the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show, WGSO 990 AM. We're going to be right back. Don't anybody go away.